On this episode of TJ Talk, we sparked the conversation with special guest Joshua to discuss the topic of, did women kill chivalry? Josh felt there were a few topics that the culture should address more in order to get a better understanding of how we think as a whole. There was a whole list that we created, but the conversation was so good, we only got to one question. We hope you all enjoy him as much as we did, because something tells us he'll be back. Thank you for tuning in, and if you haven't already, make sure you love on somebody today, even if that somebody is you. First of all, welcome to the Melanin Mic. Here on the Melanin Mic, we would like to know, what have you done to love on somebody today?
What have I done to love on somebody today? I gave somebody some advice they needed today. Today, I was on campus today. One of the freshmen came to me looking for some guidance, and you know, I guess I took him under the wing today.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So
hopefully he uses it. Hopefully he uses it. Because, you know, they always don't. They don't always do, I mean.
This is true. But, okay, let me see. For me, what did I do to love on somebody today? Let me see. I checked in with my best friend. So we had a catch-up conversation. We've both been really busy. So today's the first time we really had time to catch up. So we caught up today. Loved on each other. Good shit. Okay. So to get right on into it, as I told the people, I was approached by this here young man, Joshua, and he decided that he had a few things that he wanted to bring to the mic. So, with that being said, before we go through the questions, can you tell me what exactly made you decide that these particular things were important to discuss for the culture?
Well, these particular things, a lot of this confusion on a lot of these topics. It's a lot of people who see themselves on one side of the fence, but necessarily don't understand the other side of it. Mm-hmm. They don't have, and most people ain't open to changing their worldview or thinking to even see the other side of the spectrum.
Okay.
That's usually how it goes, especially when I have these conversations with people. My viewpoint is usually the unicorn in the room.
Okay. I fuck with that. Look, I too am used to being a unicorn, so I'm here for it. So what made you decide on these particular questions?
These questions I run into it, like, mostly, especially in sense of, like, worldview. Mm-hmm. I'm in school, so as far up the, like, most of the questions that attack the black people more so, I run into these every day just because going to a HBCU, these are conversations that be had in these classes.
Okay, so what school do you attend?
I go to Texas College in Tyler, Texas. I'm
a senior. Okay, Tyler, okay. Them country boys. All right, dear. Okay. So, to go ahead and jump into the first question, this particular question we opened up to the public on the Melanin Mic on Friday, this past Friday. So, okay. Got a lot of feedback on this question.
Okay. So,
the question in itself was, did women kill chivalry? So you said that this is a question that you, as a black man, often run into. Something that affects your everyday, this particular question, how is it something that affects your everyday life?
Well, it affects me every day. I'm a natural gentleman. You know what I'm saying? That was just the way I was came up. You know what I'm saying? I was raised by a mother, you know what I'm saying? A single mother. So it was always, you know, hold the door, don't do this, you need to be grabbing that, you need to do this type things. These are just like my responsibilities, especially as being the oldest. So it kind of became a part of how I move naturally. It don't just be like I'm purposely being a gentleman. It's just this is what I think how it should go. And it's not always received the way I would think it should be received. So I'd be like, is chivalry dead? You know what I'm saying? Is it really still respected?
Okay, can you provide an example of A, the situation in itself, B, what you expect from it, and C, what you got that, you know, was out of line?
Okay. It can be something as simple as holding a door for somebody. It can really be that basic, and is a simple action. I mean, it's a kind gesture. You don't have to hold the door for nobody, but it should be received with thank you. I appreciate that, and you can move by your day. A lot of times, it's like whatever. I could have grabbed my own door, you know. And that's not what it's supposed to be about. It can be as large as going out to eat and paying for dinner, you know. And most women who make, and more so during now, is more common as than in the past. Women make their own money more so now. We're entrepreneurs. They have businesses. They are financially stable. Right. You know what I'm saying? So they don't need you to pay for dinner. I can pay for my own meal, but that's understood. But if you tell a man that, it will feel he will feel you know, I brought you up. So it's like you flaunt that part of me to you flaunt that part to me, but that's not what this is about. It's just me. I invited you out. I want to have a good time, but it's not about me flaunting my money, showing that I could take care of you. It's just how, I guess, the gender roles were set, and now we live in this. But now that the financial structure is different, women are more independent, and with independence, it comes an ego with that necessarily. Like, I don't need you. You know what I'm saying? But you make that overly known. So if you feel like, if I feel like I'm not needed, then I don't want to be around. If that makes sense.
Indeed. Indeed it does. It makes sense to me. It makes sense to y'all people. That 110% makes sense to me. I think that you clarified a lot of valid points, especially to state that it oftentimes it is, or it, as a woman, I can speak from the perspective to say that if a man is taking me out, I'm anticipating you to pay, and that's just the truth. Don't ask me to tell them, you know, if you try to go half. But honestly, I'm not saying that I would be against that. I'm saying if it's not stated in the beginning that we're going
to. There's even a stigma with that. There's like, right. Okay. If a guy invites you out and you pay for your own meal, then there's a level of wall there that is like, okay, you invited me, but I had to pay for myself. He's not open to the full version of you simply because you had to pay for your own meal and he invited you out.
Run it back. One more time.
Okay. So if a guy invites you out on a date,
okay,
but you had to pay for your own meal, this is your first interaction with him.
Okay, first interaction. No.
And he invited you out and you had to pay for your own meal. There's a wall there. You're not even invested into him as you was before because you had to pay for your own meal.
Not at all. I'm probably not calling you again.
See that, but that, so that's a double standard simply because you expect me to be this level of guy for you, but you express to me that you don't even need me. So you're giving me mixed signals. I don't know where I stand.
Okay, well,
but it's not necessarily through your mouth, it's through your actions more so.
Okay. So let me clarify or ask a clarifying question.
Okay. So
in this situation, like you said, if this is the first interaction and I pay for my own meal, right?
Okay.
So you're saying that she would no longer give you as a man the same value as she would before because she had to pay for her own meal.
Exactly. You then instantly think lesser of him. Instantly. He loses points because you had to pay for your own meal. You just said you wouldn't give him a call back.
This is true. I'm not taking it back. I'm not going to lie and say you did not lose points.
So it's like...
But I say that to say as a... The way that I carry myself as the woman or the lady that I am, those are the standards that I do... attend to express. So if you're approaching me, I feel like you should know that you should already be at the level that I am carrying myself because I can pay for my own meal. So if I am capable of doing this, if you take me out to a place and like you said, if you're, you know, if the intent or, you know, whatever it may be is to, you know, impress me, then yeah, like, or make me more interested in you, make me want to take this on another date, then yes, then I would anticipate you're gonna pay for the meal.
I mean, yeah, but that comes with the territory of trying to talk to any woman. He has to meet a level of stand, like there's a set level of standards that you have.
There's a
level of standards that you have that he has to have in order to even communicate with you. Like he has to meet a checklist that you have for yourself, that he has to hit every check before he's even able to get to the next level of you.
Okay, now I like to clarify. I would not say that a man has to meet every check. Like, because honestly, as women, a lot of women are very passive on a few things that they let slide. But there's a difference between, you know, the list and what we call non-negotiables. So non-negotiables, yes, those are things that honestly, as a woman, those should be your morally instilled thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not gonna date this man because he says he doesn't like Christmas, and I know I want my to look like the McAllisters from Home Alone. We lighting this bitch up. Like, what do you mean right. You don't like Christmas? But you still date him because he has money? No, that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. You don't. So certain things, yes. If you don't meet those check boxes first day, I'm not gonna pursue you, because at that point I'm wasting my time, because you're not somebody that, you're not what I want. And if I'm able to communicate that to you, that that's the reason, you know, without being disrespectful, like, I'm not going to play with your feelings and, like, drag you along knowing you told me on the first date, you know what I'm saying, you ain't fuck with Christmas and here it is fall, you don't want to buy no tree, you know what I'm saying? And I'm, like, he told you that. Day one, he ain't fuck with Christmas, you know?
Well, women let a lot of things slide.
Then. Right. But, like, to say every single checkbox, I don't think that's true, because there are some things that if he meets over here, he'd be like,
okay, well, not necessarily everything, but there's a base level of criteria he has to meet before he can move forward. Let me say it like that. There's a base level, like anything above that is like a bonus, but there's a bottom line he has to meet before he can even move forward.
It is a fact. All right, we got Kay Ashley, who says, you don't have to meet every check, because if that's the case, we wouldn't be dating nobody. Woo! Sis said a word. Okay. So, to get into it, as I stated, we did open this response up to the public, and these are a few of the comments that we received. Ms. Phillips says, the I don't need a man is programmed behavior. You have to get to the root of why women started this mindset in the first
place. Oh, that's easy.
Go ahead.
Easy. That financial stability. Before, women didn't make a lot of money. We know this. They have to have a women's suffrage movement. There was a women's rights movement, all these things. Women had to earn their way. So by the time they got, like, okay, for example, like, if you went to school for this amount of years and you fought to earn your degree, when you get it, you're going to flaunt it. So same concept with women. If they fought to get to this level, and now they're at the level where they own companies, I got here by myself. So why do I need you? So that's what it comes with. Like, if she's able to do, if anything, you can show her monetarily, like physically, like paying for it. If she can do it herself, that instantly doesn't impress her no more. So why do I need you?
But,
you know what I'm saying?
But I
but think that, you still require, but that's still a requirement.
I think that people put a lot of weight on finances nowadays. I mean, I'm not trying to say that it's not a good thing to be taken care of, but it's like, come on, we do have, like, realistic standards. But I think that a lot of men don't accept affection from women wholeheartedly until they are financially where they want to be. Like, the man specifically has to be in a financially good space before he will truly commit to a woman, and it's not the same.
But there's a reason. Why do you think that is? That's not his fault. That's what the world told him he had to do. Yeah, the way the government looks at the man in the household, he's the financial supporter. While when people leave, he has to take care of them, even after they're separated. You know what I'm saying? Like, if a man's in that household, she can't even qualify for food stamps, Section 8 thing. Because why do you need our services if there's a man? You feel what I'm saying? Like, why do you need us if you have a man in your household? He should be supporting all of that for you. And that's the reason. So when he understands that he means nothing more than, like, everything that the world's asking for him is a bill, then he understands that he has to get his paper together before he can enjoy life.
Woo! You better preach. Okay.
Yeah.
Valentino, who also commented to say, The government replacing the man did. They pit us against each other, making it profitable to stay separate. Government also started the whole feminist movement, not for women's rights, but in order to tax the other half of the country, aka women. The relationship between men and women is different in other countries.
Yeah, because the relationship between men and women in other countries are based off tradition and not finances.
So you think that one of the problems is that black people don't have traditions?
I mean, we did, but we don't now. We had to create our own culture. And then even that is still being benefited by people who aren't black. So we don't have a background to where it's like, okay, my great, great grandmother was in Louisiana somewhere. And this is how the legacy of our family did things. So when it trickles down to me, I know my last name was the last name of my great grandfather.
Right.
There is no history. So there's no tradition. There is no, okay, we do this annually, we do this yearly, we get together and do these and practice these beliefs. There isn't any of that because we kind of piggyback beliefs from other cultures and create it all.
And honestly, all of those things, I think, died off with the family reunions because people stopped getting together. And it's like, you can't ask those questions if you don't see your family. Like you said, with the grandparents and the older that we get, those histories start to die, literally and figuratively, if you don't come together to as a whole full family unit to, you know, read those stories.
Most families are in competition.
Say that again.
Most families are in competition. Anybody you meet and run into, and they talk about somebody in their family, somebody is in competition with somebody else over something that doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? I know for my family, for sure, I know they definitely be in competition about things that don't even mean nothing outside of today. And they last for months. I'm like, damn, you still mad about that? Damn, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, so I know, and any of my friends, the people I talk to, I know families be in competition. So like, why do you want to meet every year with the people you don't like?
Right. And then it makes it, like you said, even harder to mend those relationships because everybody kind of has that mentality. Black people are easy to write off others, and sometimes respectfully so. It takes a village.
Hell, back in the day, they used to have the school teacher bring out the rulers and shit. That's not finna fly now.
I remember those days.
That's not flying. That's not going no more. Nobody's finna settle for that. But it's like now more so. Black people have a sense. I mean, it's rightfully so because other traditions didn't have to fight against an overpowered structure beating them down while they was building a foundation and a tradition versus black people did. So it's like you fighting to love somebody while fighting against an oppressor in a sense. So it's like how you can't do both. I'm just still trying to provide self-preservation.
Right. And a lot of people are so busy trying to survive that it's really hard to even care about your neighbor. And that's...
Come on, man. I know y'all got it going on over there, but my bills do. So it's like, right. You know what I mean? And it's like, I got fired and it's like the police is riding down the block because they patrolling or whatever. It's too much going on and I got to keep my head on my shoulder. I can't help you right now.
Right.
And people don't know how to take notes. If you can't help me, or you can't help me, then it's, you know what I'm saying? It's you know what I'm saying? Right. It gets personal. Why you got to say no to me?
Right.
Come on, I thought you loved me, but it ain't even like that. You know what I'm saying?
Because, like you said, we all have our own shit going on. Sometimes we ain't going to be available.
And now Thanksgiving canceled because of it.
Man, look, try to figure out who's going to which house because these people can't go to that house because they don't like
these. Can't let them know I was just over there. So I got to leave this plate in the car. You not staying? You leaving? You
right.
That type stuff, so.
Right. So we have Miss Monet who says that she believes men killed chivalry. She said they try to clown and be other little men for being kind to women, and now men are ashamed to do so.
I mean, I can see the view, but I think that's the side effect of it. I feel like that's a side effect of other. Not necessarily that's not the main reason, but if you understand, like, if other men understand they role, and we all understand this is what I'm here for, and then it's like, you still being, like, you see how they see you? Like, so, come on, man, you get money, you feel me? And that's where the ideology comes from, on top of being hurt. Like, you try to, that's why most women make fun of men. Oh, you got your heart broke once, and then you turned into a, And it's not like, it's like you tried to love the world, but the world didn't love you back in that moment, so you hate the world forever. It's one of those type of situations. So it was like you tried to love on one woman and it didn't work. So now every woman by default after her gets the wrath of what she did. You feel me? And that's the same concept with like finances. So if you know the world sees you a certain way and then you still trying to be Mr. Goody Boy, good tissue, other men look at you like you a sucker. Because it's like, how you going to keep getting finessed? Like, why are you still choosing to go get finessed? Come on, man.
So, do men assume that women don't go through the same thing?
Not necessarily. They don't care. I don't think it's more so a thought process. I don't think it's like one of those things. Because I've never had a conversation with another group of men to where it's like, hey, how do y'all think women feel about this? You know what I'm saying? It's like,
really?
It's not, I'm not saying it don't. I'm not, it may well, happen somewhere, well, but I've never been in a circle full of men talking about women, and it's never like, okay, what is the other side of the room like? Because men have a level of pride. It's like, there's a level of like, I'm supposed to be in control of the situation, so it doesn't matter what the other side feels like. If you lost her, it's because you fucked up. Or she missed out on you. Like, I genuinely, a dude to feel like I can leave my girl butt naked at the basketball game because no man can take her. It's that level of pride in a sense that is like, we don't think on those level of things. So most men, when they see other men being that type of guy, it's like, come on, man. But if it's genuine and he is well received, then a mature guy, he'll respect it. It'd be like, I've had friends where it's like, hey, Josh, where you at? I'm out with the ladies. Oh, yeah, they look good. Hey, man, ain't you? Don't you have a girlfriend? Why are you asking me shit like this? Until you sing, well, then you can hit me up. But if not, then get the hell off my phone because I respect the, you know, I'm not going to contribute to what to your bullshit.
Okay.
But at the same time, a lot of men don't do that. They'd be like, yeah, they look good. Come through. You know what I'm saying? So it's case by case. But with me, it's just a level of maturity. Like, even though sometimes I don't believe in just being in a specific kind of relationship, but at the same time, if you found that for you, then I respect it.
Okay. So we have Mr. Bradley, who says, I believe social media and these reality TV shows ruin chivalry.
Hell yeah. Yeah, but I mean, so that's how you view your world, and sometimes you can look at that and see your reflection. You know what I'm saying? Because like, social media and TV is supposed to be a reflection of reality. It's media. So you see that and you think that shit's real, and it's not. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
Like real ass give a fuck about a nigga. It's like, that's a movement. That's a belief system now. That whole thing a lot of women actually live by. Like, she wrote a verse. Like, she made money off that. That was her career, but you apply that kind of thinking to your real life. That don't make sense.
Okay, so elaborate on why it don't make sense.
It doesn't make sense because you're being a sheep to a, you know what I'm saying? You following. She probably doesn't even believe that. It's like, it's entertainment. She probably said this, I don't know, but she probably said those things simply because it's like, I have to say, this is what's hot now. I know I'm going to make my money getting this. This is my blow up. This is strictly entertainment.
Right.
But then you take what's entertainment and you apply it to real life. It's like watching Candyman and really going in the mirror and being scared to say Candyman. It's like you applying media to real life. That's not reality. You feel what I'm saying? So right. You actually live it and you ruining good situations with solid people because you want to, you know, live a certain lifestyle that doesn't really apply to you. Or, and it works the other way around too. Like you can believe you want a type of personal, intimate type relationship when that might not necessarily work for you. You just believe that some what people before you live by, a level of rules that was set by people you don't even know. And you might just like to have a lot of niggas. But you think you want a boyfriend, but you keep cheating on them. Then that don't make sense.
Look, now I do know women out there like that who and vice versa who think they just gonna be max for life. They just
that don't. Just don't make sense. But if you live with that, then it's gonna work out the other way around. Like if you just be like, yo, hey, I'm not with all that. I have him, her, this, that, the third, blah, blah, blah. This is how I'm moving. And somebody can be like, either they gonna mess with it or they don't. But you ain't lied to them. I gave you the option to choose. And either way, even if you're not with it, you're going to respect me forever because I told you the truth.
So we got Mr. Jones, who says, no, hoes did. Once they were okay with being nasty in public, men forgot how to treat women.
No, hell no. Hell no. Because men, this is the thing. Women fail to realize men can separate hoes from women.
Excuse me?
Men can separate hoes from women.
Say that one more time for the people.
Men can separate hoes from women. We know, we understand that the chick at the pool, this is the thing. Like, okay. If we go to a pool party mm-hmm. and there's good ladies over there. Yeah, hey, ladies, cool. But we want the hoes to be here because the hoes going to turn up the party. We know that. We not going to, like, if you meet a certain woman, how she carries herself, how she moves, how she do certain things, we're not going to approach you the same way we approach these hoes that's twerking on Instagram. Come on, man. We know the difference. But if you conduct yourself like a hoe, you're going to get treated like a hoe. It's the same. It's this kind of, you know what I mean? It's not that they can't tell the difference. It's that they don't care.
Yeah, that's just more disrespectful.
I mean, but it's the truth. Would you rather somebody tell you the truth, or you said rather somebody lie to you? The thing is, a lot of dudes, some dudes just don't care because they live a certain lifestyle. I don't care if she strip at V Live or she in school to get her doctorate. Either way, she wanna both these hoes is on the team. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna text both of them good morning, beautiful the same way. Some people just don't care. So it's not like he's treating women gotta separate the guys that they dealt with the general population of men. Because a lot of time it would be like a woman, she ran into three dudes that treated her bad, but you chose them dudes. So you can't blame all men for what happened to you, because we all men don't speak for them three niggas.
Mr. Greg says, I feel like it hasn't been killed. I feel like the dynamics of chivalry have changed and a lot of us have failed to evolve. Women have elevated themselves in society, and you can't come to a woman today the same as you did back in the 50s. But on the flip side, the expectations of women should have also evolved and exist.
That whole comment is 100% correct. Mm. Man, women hold men to a standard that don't exist no more. Like, you expecting him to do things that work back when houses cost $7,000. The whole dynamic has shifted, so you can't keep up. Your views got to change with the times. You know what I'm saying? Not everything that worked then is going to work now. And that's where the miscommunication is.
So you believe that women have unrealistic expectations, which is why they can't find the men that they want.
I feel like women live in a fantasy. Men live in reality. In a sense of that, the requirements that he needs to hit to be with you is not realistic, because no man hits all those qualities. Like, Mr. Right doesn't exist.
So you're saying that he doesn't hit those qualities because men haven't evolved like women have?
No, men shouldn't have to evolve to fit your standards. That's the thing. That's the ego part. Like, why do I have to change who I am at the core of myself to fit who you want me to be? That just means we're not compatible. Quit trying to force something that doesn't work.
Okay.
That just means just find the guy that naturally is compatible with the type of things that you love. And then it works. Most people in the world interact with people they had no business talking to.
This is true.
And your phone then made you so easy to reach people that literally that shouldn't have never been in your atmosphere if you just went outside and met people that way.
That's interesting. All right, and then last but not least, we have Mr. Harris, who says, honestly, it just makes me want to go harder, but if it gets to a point where my doing chivalry isn't appreciated because you're independent, it's now become a problem.
I can see that. I guess because for men, it's more of a chase. And for women, they more play defense. So if you in the check, because women get approached way more than men do, because women don't approach men, because that's not how it works. So once you pursue so many times and the things that you do aren't respected, you be like, okay, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? So at this point, it's like, I'm not gonna change to fit a standard that's impossible to reach anyway.
I think I got two questions. So A, what exactly is the standard that
most
believe women have set? Like, what would be the basics?
Okay. For one, he has to be attractive to you, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't be even having this conversation. But there's a certain perfect guy where he has to have he has to be financially stable. He has to have no kids. He has to have his career and everything together. His at home situation have to meet a certain level. You go into a house, his house is nasty. You don't want to. He has to stay clean. He has to present himself properly. These are things he should want for himself. But we understand that these are standards that has to be met. And on top of that, he has to be loyal to you. He has to treat you the way you like to be treated. The way you like to be treated.
Okay.
And then on top of that, he has to, you know what I'm saying? He obviously has to be more, I don't want to say it, but he has to be intimate with you the way you like it.
Well, duh.
Right. I mean, yeah, obviously, but this is the thing. You, but this is understood, but you lead with this up front. Like, when a man meets a woman, he's never like, she has to meet this, and this. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Men are more optimistic that way. Men think more optimistically in a sense like, okay, if she did me wrong, I'm going to meet her with a brand new view. I'm going to talk to her for who she is, and we're going to see where this goes, right? But how women meet women, because they get approached so much, you don't want to waste your time trying to figure out so many different dudes. So if off the muscle, if he don't hit these marks and you're getting to, like, do you understand when you're talking to a guy and getting to know him, he's not even that nigga no more. Like, the nigga he's presenting to you, telling you who he is, he's not even that person anymore. That's him 2 years ago. This is just his resume he's reading to you. This is his representative that he has to put on to even impress you, to get you to want to like him.
Okay.
Because when y'all went out, he already liked you. You still trying to figure out if you like him or not.
Okay.
But he's already at a disadvantage. Mm. So he's still trying to convince you that he's the type of guy that you want to deal with to even allow you to open them doors up. Whether it's emotionally, spiritually, or even physically.
Okay, so speaking just generally, so I feel that, as you stated, a man can approach a woman just off the rip and have this optimistic thinking.
Yeah.
However, a woman, like you said, will probably look for more things that are deeper, not necessarily on the surface. So is that to say that men go or approach women more based upon their looks, and that is why they have these optimistic thinkings? Because let's be real, some men, even if she don't have all these things going for her, will still fuck with her.
That's at the fault of men. A lot of men don't have standards. So that's why you see, like, if you see men and you be like, damn, that's your first baby mama? That's what she look like? But, you know what I'm saying? But her booty big, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, she does. A lot of men don't have standards. You know what I'm saying? They take it as it comes. So when they meet women, it's not even about who you are as a person, because you look good and I'm trying to hit regardless. You feel me? Because I'm probably not going to stick around anyway. That's how it proceeds. So it's like, nah, he going to approach with that optimistic view, because I'm not here. I'm here for a good time, not a long time. So how you feel about the world doesn't really matter to him. But
I feel like that's okay. So as a woman, honestly, if I'm being approached, like you said, off the rip, I can sit there and I can look at you and I can let you know if I'm probably going to talk to you again or if I'm not going to talk to you again. However, yeah. I'm not a disrespectful person, so I'm going to let you say what you got to say. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to let you, you know, get off your little spiel, whatever, and then probably politely decline. But that's right. Because, like you said, the way you approached me or something that you said, then let me know while you're feeding off your resume that I'm not interested. So therefore, in the response that I give you, I'm going to let you know that, like you said, up front. But a lot of men are still persistent. If you know that that girl is out of your league, why do you continue to talk to her?
What is out of your league, though? What is out of your league? Like, tell me, no, really. What is out of your league? Because I feel like that's more of a how you view yourself type situation. Unless it's a social, if it can't be a social status.
Oh, let's run it back then. Okay, so before, when we were speaking, you said that there are levels to this. That every woman has a baseline.
A base thing that you have to require.
Again, every woman's baseline is different because of what she's going to respond to. Like you said, it's probably got a whole bunch of
characters. Right, but that's her baseline. So right. For him, but when he's meeting her, he's not going to...
He, as a woman,
okay.
The way that I carry myself,
right,
you should be able to tell or not, You know what I'm saying? After that first interaction, if I told you I wasn't interested, then you said something, like I said, you said something that made me not interested. So why would you continue to pursue me if I've already let you know
I'm because not? Because of pride, and to answer that direct question, I guess that I can say that's probably pride and confidence. It's a level of pride that, come on, I'm the smoothest dude. I'm the coldest nigga since ice water. Like, how you gonna deny me? You must be missing out for not talking to me. So it's like, it turns into a level of competitive goal to reach. Like, oh, you said no, so I'm not just gonna give up that easy. You just might not have seen the part of me you liked yet. Yeah, so it's like, as far as, it's a competitive nature as far as men are competitive. You tell him no, it's gonna be like, if it's not a blatant, disrespectful no, I mean, some men, those are creeps, we're not discussing them. They pursue regardless of whatever. But right. As far as if it's a polite no and he keeps pursuing, it might be the sense of you probably just ain't seen the part of me you liked yet. You going off of your first interaction with me, and that's probably not enough for you to make a solid decision to know you don't like me yet. And that's how he sees it, so he continues to pursue.
So do you, as a man, believe that you can convince a woman to be interested in you?
Yeah, have you not heard the stories of I didn't like him at first, but now we married 20 years? It happens. Like, how do those stories take place if he didn't have a level of persistence to convince? Because she might literally be in a space in her life where she's not looking. And it might not just be you. You might approach her as, like, I had a bad day. And then you come to me asking for my number. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, all right. Or it could be a sense of, you know, I'm in a space emotionally where I'm not ready to even entertain nobody. And you said no. And then, but you literally talking to your soulmate, talking about no. And he persists. So it's like those things take place. That's not all. That's case by case, though. That's not always the situation. Because sometimes he's just persistent and it's like, no, I said no to you. Like,
right.
It's just dead. And men can't catch their hands. Sometimes they do too much. And sometimes if it's the right person, you might have did a little too little.
Right. And so how do you handle that rejection?
You move on, man. You take it off the shoulder. Take it off the chin. Not everybody's for you. You got to understand that part. Just because you saw them and liked them and you walked up to them, that don't mean she supposed to be for you. Like, you might have just saved him by saying no. Like, you might have got on my nerves anyway. You don't know. Like, you going off the first eyesight. You going off lust. You going off damn, she looked good in that dress. Let me go over and holler at her. And that might not necessarily be the person you need to be dealing with right then.
Okay. So someone says that a lot of men haven't been taught chivalry by their parents. Chivalry is learned. It is not common sense.
Well, I can't speak for most people. People, because I can go off me. I know most men who's raised by just their mothers definitely know chivalry. Whether they acted, it was definitely taught. You're going to know how to treat a woman because you're going to respect me. You know what I'm saying? So I want you to handle it. If I'm raising these boys and I'm here by myself, I'm not going to carry no boxes. I got boys. I'm not going to hold no doors. I got boys. So I know from that dynamic, it's like, you gonna know chivalry, but it's like how the world treats you when you dispense it out is how you, it's whether you uphold it or not. For men, I know, I learned chivalry. I know how to handle a woman from my father, but it was more so the other parts of life that I was learning from him that was more so up the forefront than being chivalrous to a woman. You feel what I'm saying? It was more so how to carry myself, how I need to be financially stable, how I need to chase my goals and things of that nature to be the man that I need to be to even be attractive to women. So, but on the other side is when you get a woman, how to treat her came from my mother. And I feel like most men learn that part of it. You have a sense of how to respect women. Everybody got a grandma. You know how to talk to your grandma. Everybody got an auntie. You had a teacher you respected. You know how to handle women. It's not that you don't know how to handle women, because he's respectful to women, but it's just the woman he's intimate with that he's not necessarily showing those qualities. And you got to ask why that is.
Okay, man. Okay. So we are almost at the end of our hour, and I must say it has been a pleasure speaking today. So before we go, that you are currently in college, what can we do in the future?
Oh, I'm a licensed carpenter. I'm actually an entrepreneur. Now I have LLCs. I have a trucking company. I'm in school currently for business administration and marketing to understand that. But I do have plans of having my own podcast and things of that nature. But as far as my carpentry license goes, I will have a carpenter's business to build affordable housing for Black people without having to be on Section 8 and in the system. You understand? So these are the things that I'm doing with my life.
Okay, I'm fucking with it. And what can we do to support you in your business?
I have a clothing line out, Borgata clothing line. You can go and buy and support, and all those finances will go towards the capital for starting my business.
Okay. Again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We are very, very, very grateful for you sparking the conversation with us today. Stay tuned for our next guest. Again, we may be bringing Joshua back so that he can spark the conversation with us once again. You can check out all episodes of The Melanin Mike on Melanin Mike _ on Instagram, IGTV, as well as Melanin Mike Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, and all those other platforms. And make sure, you sign up for text alerts, because I think there's some Melanin merch coming. What? But, you know, just a little hint. Yeah. But, Joshua, did you have any questions for me before I let you go?
No, I didn't have any questions. I enjoyed my time here, though. I definitely enjoyed the conversation.
Yes, and I definitely enjoyed you, and I think the people did too. So I am sure we will see you back here on the Melanin Mike soon.
Happy to be back.
All right, I'll talk to you later.